You're listening to the Rural Advancement Podcast. Rural Advancement provides resources to empower, equip, and encourage rural pastors and churches. Join our community by visiting us at ruraladvancement.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rural Advancement. This is the podcast that is by rural leaders and for rural leaders. It is our goal every single week, week in and week out, to bring you content that is not just spoken to the rural church, but is spoken by people who get it, people who live and love rural places, and people who know the great value of the work that God does there. I am your host, Joe Epley, and today I'm excited to dive into a conversation with Pastor John Murdoch. I got to be acquainted with his story, and I've just really been thrilled by his passion for planting rural churches. He has a long tenure in ministry, serving for over 50 years, and I just really love his heartbeat, the way that he cares about small-town communities and the people who live and pasture there. And so I'm excited to dive into his story, but first I want to say, Pastor John, how are you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing good. You know, Montana is a little cold right now at the time of recording. It is negative 20 degrees outside, but it's going to warm up to a balmy 45 tomorrow. So that'll be great. So,
well, it's 12 degrees here in Lubbock, Texas, and it's snowing.
There you go.
That's unusual. Well, it was 84 last week.
84 last week. See, you guys are having the same kind of weather mood swings that we are, just in different ways.
Yeah.
But Pastor John, you know, we know that there's a lot of story involved in rural and small town places. And so we want to give our listeners, those tuning in, a chance to hear your story. And so why don't you walk us through your journey in ministry? You know, I mean, I'd love to hear what you've been doing, kind of maybe some of the stops of church planting. Give us the overview of kind of the last, I think it's, you said 52 years of ministry. And so walk us through that real quick. Let's get to know you a little bit.
Yeah, I started the ministry in 1972 as a youth pastor. I grew up in West Texas. I grew up in a town of 500 people, Jayton, Texas. Our church was made up of family, mainly a lot of relatives. We had all the ministries in the church. Although it was a small town, we had great ministries, great church. And so my life was school, the church, and the farm. And out of that church, I grew up with three cousins. And today, 52 years later, we're all still in full-time ministry.
Wow, I love that.
So we've been going all these years, and yeah, it's great heritage to be part of a rural town, because you probably know this, that the greatest percentage of people who are in full-time ministry and missionaries come from small towns.
Yeah, that's so true.
I don't know why that is, but that's true. I love rural America, and I've spent all but 3 years in Lubbock, which is a town of 265,000, but my heart is always pointed in the north, south, east, and west of the small towns. I went 1 year to a secular college, and that's where I was called to ministry. And then I went to SAGU or Nelson University, and got my degree, and thought I was going to go to Tennessee to plant churches, because the superintendent came and told us he had a need. I never got out of West Texas, but I've been pastoring Christian Life here in Lubbock for 26 years, and in that time we've planted seven churches, and we're in the process right now of there's five churches that have died that I've got this idea of starting a house of prayer in all of them. We have two going right now, and we're in the process of getting the other three going. Because when a church dies, that's it. If the property sells, it's hard to ever get it started back up. And I've made contact with our district, has given me the okay to keep the property and see if we can, you know, there's always a nucleus of people left. And I'm meeting with them on a weekly basis, the places we're in right now. And it's an hour of prayer. I said, we're not coming back in to see if we can open the church. The prayer is going to be that we can take over the city.
Yeah.
And believe in God to come in. And a great encouragement to me just recently is in Acts chapter 10. You know, we quote the scripture all the time, pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth workers. But in verse 1, Jesus called the 70 out. And the Bible says that he called them out to go to towns and places where he was going to go.
Mm.
So, and for the next few chapters, it talks about him meeting Mary and Martha, Zacchaeus, the 10 lepers, and all of them recognized who he was. And the reason they recognized who he was is because the 70 had gone in before him and told him them who he was. So they padded the way. And so I believe that that's what we're doing in the houses of prayer. We're going in, and I'm expecting Jesus to show up and send a mighty move of God.
Yeah, man, that is so exciting. And I know that before you were a lead pastor for 26 years, I know that you and I, you know, I'm sharing that role right now, but you were previously the youth director for that portion of Texas. Am I right?
Yes. Yeah, I was here 15 years as DYD. And the good thing about that and the bad thing about that is, you know, I got to go to churches all over West Texas. That was the great thing. And what a blessing that was. Thousands of youth came through our camp. So I know people everywhere.
Sure.
And that always helps. And then, of course, youth ministry was, you know, I was in youth ministry. I resigned as DYD when I turned 50.
Sure.
It was the greatest time of my life up to that moment. But but I got to see a lot of things happening. A lot of West Texas, if you know anything about it, you know that it's made up mainly of small towns.
Yeah.
And in those small towns, in my ministry of 52 years, about 40 of them have closed down.
Wow.
And it's a continuation of churches closing down. And so we have gone back and planted 7 in those places, and we've got 80 more if God opens the door for us to. That's 80 towns with no church, but a school.
And you're 76 years young. I mean, Moses didn't even get started till he was 80, you know, so you got plenty of time. But
well, I'm 74.
Oh, 74, 74. My apologies.
That's okay.
I was doing math in my head, and I thought, well, he was done at DYD at 50, but, you know, you must have started lead pastor right in there. So,
You know what? It's like the moon, the sun standing still for 24 hours.
There you go. You know,
I was DYD and pastor this church for 2 years.
Nice. That was the overlap I missed. So,
yeah.
Well, hey, I didn't tell you. what a wonderful story. And as we dive into our questions, what I'm excited about is the map of your life really feeds into what you're doing now. You know, you kind of have this 15-year run of just getting to visit small towns as a youth director and obviously growing a heart for those small towns, seeing the closures happen again and again and again. And then to take over a lead church in Lubbock, of course, which we would not define as rural Texas, but to say, whatever surplus gain, resource, leadership we have, we are going to reinvest in these small communities. And so my first question, you've already touched on it. You talked about, when we talked on the phone, you talked about your own personal foundation in prayer. You're talking about how prayer is kind of paving the way for a lot of these things. But obviously, you and I could maybe recognize, and I'm sure we both preach sermons on, the fact that prayer is often overlooked, you know, in our modern church context. We think of prayer as I prayed before dinner, or I prayed and said, God bless whatever I'm doing, and then we kind of roll on to the doing and the active and the whatever it is. But talk about prayer as a foundation for ministry and how that has impacted your ministry over the last, you know, 5 decades.
It seems to me like, as I look back over my years of ministry, that in my younger days, it seemed like I would sit down and pray, and 5 minutes later, I'd get up because I was prayed out, you know, and ask all the things
I was with that, for sure.
Asking. and so, you know, I would go on with my work, because by the time I would sit down and pray or kneel down and pray, I started thinking about all the things I need to do. And so I don't know if it's age or experience or what, but the scripture in Matthew 6, where Jesus said, go into the secret room and you close the door and just be with the Father. It's a powerful thing to me to go into that secret place. It can be anywhere. It's not I don't have a special room. I don't have a closet. I'm claustrophobic anyway, so I'm not going to.
Sure, you're like, not happening.
I'm not going to go in that door any closer. But I can sit down now for hours just in his presence. I probably sleep some of it. I don't know, but
sure.
But it's a calm that he puts me, you know, in. But, you know, I've got three children. I don't think I told you this the other day, but two of them are missionaries in foreign countries. And one of them, they pastor here in West Texas. So they're all in ministry. But my youngest daughter, when she was just a little girl, she would finish eating and then she would just climb up on a chair and get on my shoulder and just sit there until I got through eating. We wouldn't talk usually. Sure. She just sat there. And to me, that's kind of what it is with God. I go in the room and I don't really have to say anything. I may not have a prayer. In fact, those are my best days. I don't have I'm not asking him anything. I'm just cherishing his presence. And he said that if you will do that, that he would be our great reward. Mm. And he would reward us openly is what he said. But he told Abraham, he said that I will be your exceeding great reward. And to me, the great reward is not doing great ministry, having great success. Our great reward is the presence of God.
Mm.
And so the presence of God being with me, that's greater than anointing. That's greater than planting churches. That's greater than preaching any message. It's just him giving me the reward of knowledge of who he is.
Man. So highlight for me specifically, and I know we're going to get into some stories of how God has moved a little later as we chat. So I don't want to spoil the surprise, but when you say, hey, I've been pastoring a church for 26 years, we've planted 7 churches, just give us that brief snapshot. What part do you believe prayer has played in that venture? You know, here you are just rolling forward with the kingdom of God in these small towns, church after church after church. And what part do you think prayer has played in that, you know?
Yeah, well, one prayer I pray often, and that is if God, and you know, I'm glad that God hears our prayers. And some people say, that was a crazy prayer, but God sure understands our craziness. And so I ask God often, if there is a place that's hot, that he's wanting to do something, and he's got his eye on that place, and there's nobody in line to do it, that if he would open the door for me and show me what to do, how to do it, I would go in and I would do it.
Mm.
And that's how, you know, the 7 churches that we planted, every one of them are a different story. There is no way I could tell you that this is the formula.
Sure.
If I told you about all 7 churches, I would tell you that all 7 are miracles and every one of them are a different story. And the thing I can tell you is God puts people in your life. He puts places in your life. He puts situations in your life. And it takes all of those things for you to get to where you're going.
Mm.
No one is self-made. Mm. No one is a self-made church planter. You can't take credit for any of it. God gives you people to make it happen.
Mm.
So I've got a saying that I'm first in line, nobody behind. So that's...
you'll have to break it down for us.
Everyone's looking for, you know, to go to the big cities and plant churches. Sure. And I'm all for it. Not a lot of people want to go to a town of 500 people or 700 yeah. people. We're working in all those places. But... I'll tell you one thing that helped me on that is, and I may be getting ahead of myself because, so if I repeat myself, it's not because I've got sure. mental problems, I hope.
No, we're just getting you off script a little bit, you know, so.
But there was a church, one of the churches that closed, it was in Motley County, and I got a phone call from a woman it was close to the youth camp. So we just knew each other over the years. And she called me and said, John, they closed my church down and I don't have a place to go now. And she said, could I go visit with you? And I said, sure. So I was waiting on her to come. And I was just praying. I said, God, would you give me a word for her? Because I don't know. Instead of God giving me a word for her, he gave me a word for me.
Oh, no.
This is what he told me. And it's etched in my spirit. And you can ask people in our church, what if you said three words about John Murdoch, what would you say? They would say this: every person counts.
Mm.
And what God spoke to me that day is he said, every person counts in my church.
Mm.
Well, that's a broad view. That's not a building. That's not a congregation. That's his church. When he said that to me, I was able to tell her, and this is what I got from it. I was able to tell her that before she died, that we were going to have a church, a new church plant in that county. And she was going to be my first member.
Oh, wow.
We found some property in Roaring Springs, which is in the same county. It was the building is 40,000 square feet.
Wow.
On 23 acres in a town of 222 people. It's on the highway.
Those words don't usually get in the same sentence. You know what I'm saying?
It's on a state highway. So I started praying and started sending a message. It was for sale. Used to be a factory. I emailed and emailed and just over and over. I've got a stack of emails, probably an inch thick. And finally, after about a year and 3 months, something like that, they sent me an email. They said, John, would you please quit asking? We're not going to give it to you. and I apologized. I said, I won't ask you anymore, but I said, this is what I will do. I will ask God to bless you so much that it would be advantageous to you to donate it to us for a tax write-off.
Wow.
And that was it. That was in March of 2011. In December of 2011, I got an email from them. And they said, John, we're fixing to do something with the property. Do you have an attorney who could turn it over, that we could turn it over before December 31st?
Wow.
And I said, yes, I do have an attorney. So we gave them a $500,000 tax write-off. If that building was in Lubbock, it would be $5 million.
Right.
But being in Roaring Springs, it was appraised at $500,000.
Wow.
And we started Springs of Life Church. Today, they're meeting. They're running about 50, 60. In fact, they are helping me with Spur doing House of Prayer, which is 20 miles away. I never have met the people yet who gave it to me.
Wow.
But it was that was a miracle. But before Circle Maker, I would go on that, before I read Circle Maker,
yeah,
I would go on that property often. Every time I was in the area, I would stop on that property. To me, I had to get out of the car and I would stand on the property and claim it for Jesus.
Mm. Wow.
And by the way, Jean Cooper, she got cancer and she died, but she got to come to the church. She was my first member. I didn't know I was prophesying, but I prophesied and it happened. I preached her funeral.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Wow, that's powerful, man. And again, what a tribute to prayer of just saying, hey, it's a matter of you know, before that, yeah, that popular book, Circle Maker, that said, hey, we're going to stand in the circle, we're going to pray till something happens. You know, I love that energy. Before we get into even more stories, because I really do love, part of my favorite part about this podcast is being able to give us a forum and a place to talk about the stories of what God has done, to collect kind of the wisdom and the testimony, to build that altar of stones, you know, so that generations can know what God did, you know. But I do want to hit, I know prayer and the Holy Spirit are very interconnected, but you and I come from a Pentecostal faith tradition. You know, we believe in God's Spirit, his empowerment. And so, you know, and you can get real practical with this next one. I don't know what you wrote down for this, or you can get kind of more philosophical or thinking about it, but how has the Holy Spirit guided you? And what did it look like in your life to seek specifically like the Holy Spirit's guidance as you, you know, walked through some of these cool miracle stories? And then we'll get into all the miracle stories, because I'm super pumped for that. So
the way I would start that is the Holy Spirit is responsible for everything that has ever been accomplished that I've ever done.
Mm.
I've done quite a few things that went belly up, but
But, do you claim those ones? Is that what happens?
I don't blame that on the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. I feel that when I'm like, we'll chalk up the failures over here to me. We'll give him the credit for the wins. You know, it's...
And I mentioned before, if I were to write a book, I'd have to write either seven chapters or seven books, because because they're all different. And I go to every CMN conference. I'll be there in a couple of weeks, the CMN conference. But I can tell you, I mainly go because I don't have a lot of encouragement here because there's just not a lot of church planters around here. And I'm not familiar with a lot of church planters. And so I'm just kind of out here in Lodabar, you know.
Yeah.
Lodabar means not much good has happened lately. But anyway, there has been good things happen. So I give God praise for that. But it's the Holy Spirit. He's the one who he's led me. He's burdened me. He's opened doors. And he's provided miracles. No one can get credit for this, anything that's happened, but God and the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And if God opens a door, if one's available, I'm always willing to walk through it. And, you know, I don't feel like I'm my age. I feel like if God keeps me alive, I feel like my best days could be ahead of me.
Well, you don't look over a day over 63, so it's fine.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit, he leads. And, you know, when a door is open, a lot of people don't want to walk through the door because they're afraid of failure.
Sure.
And for some reason, I don't feel like I've got anything to lose. So failure is not you can't go into this thinking you're going to bat 1,000. You go into it just trying to hear from God. And so when the Holy Spirit opens a door and I walk through the door, I don't know if there's going to be a 30-foot drop off or if there's going to be another step for me to take when I walk through it. So sure. Far, there's always been a step for me. And sure. And I've been amazed at, there's some stories I could tell you that it's crazy.
Yeah.
Of how God put me in contact with people, you know, that I never met before. It's just, but it's all the leading of the Holy Spirit.
Because absolutely,
if I did it myself, I would be trying a lot of other things because I see that the time is short and the need is great. I may not plant another church. These five places that I'm working on, the House of Prayer, they may not ever be anything but a house of prayer. I don't know, but I'm not going to make it happen because it won't work.
Mm.
But God's got to show up.
Yeah.
And we're giving him an opportunity to show up.
Yeah.
By going in and praying and doing worship and trying to figure out how to do five at one time.
Yeah. That'll be fun.
like through a podcast or something like that. Not a podcast, but
simulcast or whatever it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Even on Facebook, a live prayer worship time. We're just,
you're having fun. You're experimenting. We're just, you're innovating. You're following the lead of the Holy Spirit, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Well, let's do this, John. And again, this is probably, I'm a little biased, probably my favorite part of what we're going to talk about, even though I've been, first of all, I mean, I joke all the time, you know, when you make a podcast for rural pastors, you never know how many people are listening actually, but I know I'm getting blessed by like the wisdom you're sharing and just the wisdom others have shared. And so, but one of the things that is just huge on my heart is, you and I would both agree that when we look back at the history of our faith, we could say the kingdom of God has been built, with these crazy stories of like God just showing up, you know, the testimony of believers saying, hey, I remember taking that leap of faith and here's how God met me in the process. And this is how it looked, but this is how it ended up happening. And I don't think we tell those stories enough. And so I just want to invite you. I know you kind of shared one already, but the way I phrased the question was just, could you share with us maybe your three favorite stories of God's miraculous provision along this journey of church planting in small towns? Because again, you've lived a life and you've been led by the Spirit. And so I want to hear about it.
Okay. Yeah. I've got them written down here just to, three good stories. They're all good. And I'll just read these. Learning that God places people and he puts people in places, circumstances in your path to accomplish what he has planned for you. In my ministry, many people have blessed me with encouragement, skills, and blessings that I needed to do the work. For example, church planting is not cheap. Two different individuals in my lifetime have blessed me by giving me over $1 million because they believed in my ministry and it was not designated money. They said, do anything you want to with it. Every dollar was sown into ministry and I'm believing that is bringing a harvest in West Texas. to them and into the ministry. You never have enough, but God's timing is always perfect. I guess I could be a millionaire if I'd have kept it, but I sowed it.
Sure.
And I think that will bring a better harvest.
I would agree.
And I've already told you the story about the woman in Roaring Springs that God led me to that building. And even that, I was looking for property. I had my associate pastor with me. He was with Teen Challenge for 50 years, and he was such a great encouragement to me.
Sure.
We were just out looking for property one day, and we drove by, and it's right there by the turnoff going to our youth camp. He said, "What about that right there?" And at that time, I thought we were going to have a cowboy church.
Sure.
And so I just drove up and looked at it, and that's when I saw the sign, had their number, started the process of
asking
for it. And then they gave it to me. And then another thing is I served as DYD in West Texas. Thousands of kids went through the camp. And so I know people all over West Texas. It's honoring to me to go anywhere and be in a restaurant. And apparently I've heard this several times, people hearing my voice and say, "I know who that is," before they even turn around and saw me.
Sure.
I guess I've got a distinct voice. I don't know. I don't know how good that is, but it's a distinct anyway. But it's been a blessing to me. Again, we have seven churches. Our last church that we've planted is in Canyon. Canyon is 20 miles from Amarillo, and West Texas A&M University is there, and we are right across the street from West Texas A&M University. West Texas A&M University is a small-town college.
Wow.
People from all over West Texas go to WT from small towns. God gave me a dream of 20 churches in 10 years from that campus. So we're believing God to give us 20 divine appointments, because when a lot of those people, they graduate from college, they want to go back to their home and take over their family business, their family farm, their ranch. So they've all got a barn, so they could start a church pretty cheap. And I'm believing God to give me 20 acquaintances in Canyon at WT that we can start 20 churches in 10 years. That wasn't written down. So anyway.
No, that's a bonus content. I love it.
The church is, the pastor's been there about a year. We're running 20 strong, but it's a great team of people there on that team. The pastor is just an amazing man. He's in his 40s, but he's been missionary to India. He's just a great guy, a great friend. Even that, I called him. God put him on my heart, and I called him, and he told me no three times. And then finally, he said, "What do you want me to do?" And I said, "I want you to go to Canyon and pastor that church." And he said, "Okay, I'll be there December 1st. That was a year ago. And I asked him, I said, "What happened?" He said, "Every time I told you no, it felt like God was turning his back on me and walking off." And when I told God, he said, "I told God, I said, if you want me to go there, just tell me." And he said, total peace came over him. And
wow.
And so that was, again, the Holy Spirit making that move, you know. But we're believing God to open that door to do that. So one of the places in Skellytown, that church closed down. And I was a presbyter at that time. And the word was, there's nothing there. The school has even closed down. But
when you lose the school, what do you have left, you know?
Yeah, there's nothing there. And so in March of 2011, I just felt impressed to go up there and pray over it. And I went and I prayed over. I sat there at the city limit sign and prayed and asked God to give us a church in Skellytown. That was in March. In October, the first Sunday in October, we had our first service. In the meantime, between March and October, I met a family who wanted to have a cowboy church. In fact, he's the pastor now of that church. But they made contact with us that we want to have a cowboy church. So me and another guy, we went and we met with them. And so here's the deal. In Skellytown, Texas, there's nothing there. So we decided to go where there's nothing and go 5 miles out of town and start a church. So we went from nothing to nowhere.
And smack dab in the middle.
And so they're running about 150. They've got a property of probably a couple $1 million, getting ready to build.
Wow.
Going strong. It's a packed church. The pieces that God had to put together, he had to put them all together to make it all work. But when he puts the pieces all together, then you see the picture, and then it just happens. And it's a powerful Holy Spirit. He's a full-time rancher to this day, but the church is prospering.
Man, wow. You know, I can tell as I talk to you, Pastor John, you know, you are a man of vision. And obviously we're hoping, you know, through every season of our lives to have vision from the Lord and vision to see beyond what other people see. And I love the common thread of these stories is that God blessed you, you know, through the Holy Spirit with the vision to see what could be in a small town and in a place. And so I want to talk about kind of longevity in ministry, because again, what always inspires me is, and you know this too, just from your time in the ministry, is, you know, there's definitely a larger crowd of people who start pastoring than people who end the, you know, the end of their life, you know, kind of pastor throughout. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of bumps along the way where people get bucked off the horse and they can't quite get back in. And I don't want to dive into the complex list of reasons for that. But you mentioned a phrase to me. You said the vision for ministry was always bigger than the burden. What does that phrase mean to you? And what does it mean for kind of your ability to keep going, you know, to keep kind of staying in the saddle and trying to move forward as a pastor? You know, what does that look like?
Yeah. Well, I've never enjoyed ministry more than I am right now. I don't brag on being a great preacher because I am not in demand.
Sure.
But I feel like I preached my greatest sermon last Sunday. It was so powerful to me. And actually it was from Luke 10:1, telling our people that it's not because you're called to ministry to do ministry. It's that God is sending you forth before he's going. And so you just know that every day that you live, God is putting you in places that he wants to go.
And oh, so wow. What a perspective.
He uses everybody. Everybody, every person counts in the kingdom. And so nobody is a nobody. We know this, that God looks down and he sees us. He sees the bird when it falls to the ground. So he definitely sees us. And so, you know, I recognize, I've told God quite a few times how old I was and he never responds. So I don't know. It's not that I want to give up. It's that I would like to finish what I'm doing, you know, but, I have to put that in his hands. And I also know that, you know, that any day could be my last day. You know, you don't know, but I don't look at that. You know, I look at, I just look at what I'm doing is fun. I can't see retiring. I'm not one who wants to sit down in a chair because the work is so great. The harvest is so plentiful, and I'm getting to do it. I'm getting to be part of the harvest. Definitely not as fast as I want to. I'd love to start all 80 churches that have no church in the town, no AZ church or Spirit-filled church. One of the things that drives me is I believe that a revival is coming, and I believe that I believe there are people in every part of the country that God has spoken this to, and I'm not the only one he spoke it to in West Texas. But in 1985, God gave me a vision of a revival in West Texas. Mm. I'm not complaining or bragging, but West Texas, if you were looking at the top 10 places to go, you would not pick. If you were looking for the 100 top places to go, you wouldn't come to West Texas.
Sure.
Because everybody wants to go to I-35, you know, in Dallas or, you know, the big places. And that's great. I'd get lost there myself. But these are my people. I love my people. And so when revival comes, my thinking is the more places we have, is the more places God, the Holy Spirit can blow and do. And the revival that comes, personally don't want it to be like Brownsville because that was a place. I would like it to be an area.
Sure.
Where's the revival at? It doesn't matter. Whatever church you go to, it's there. I would like for it to be that kind of revival. But I also want to make sure it's in my place too.
Sure.
I want to be a part of it.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Well, let's close kind of with this last question. And this is just what I ask anybody who's, you know, been at it a while, to be frank. You know, I have now, you know, I'm 32 years old, so I've been in ministry I guess you could say full time. You know, I tried to jump into internships right when I graduated and jumped in. So, you know, you're looking at a max of 14 years, and here you are at three or four times that, you know. And so, what is a piece of wisdom looking back over your long tenure in your life as a follower of the Lord and as a minister? What's a piece of wisdom that you would pass on to younger ministers such as myself?
Well, this is what I would say. Don't let success be your driving force. If you do, you'll come up short because there are days when you will feel like a total failure. But there are days when you feel like you're soaring in the wind and great victory and miracles are with you. We're not competing with others. The top of the ladder may not be what you think it is. Faithfulness, passion for God, and obedience will take you to the place where you have joy and peace. So above success and everything else connected with the path that God takes you, seek first God and to please God, be his exceeding great reward. Let him be your exceeding great reward. You are his great treasure to exalt him and proclaim his truths to a lost world. You are valuable to him. Let's make every day count, and let's make every place count for his glory. But the greatest thing of all is knowing him.
Wow. John, as we close this conversation, I just want to say thank you so much for being a part of this conversation today.
It's been my pleasure. Thanks for getting a hold of me. That was great. I love telling my story. My church hears it every Sunday. It gets old to them, I'm sure. But it never gets old to me. It's fresh. It's new, and it's a joy.
Well, and we love hearing it. As we close out, I just want to say again, from all of us at Rural Advancement, again, we hope you leave today's conversation equipped and empowered and encouraged to serve God where you're at. Again, our hope is that you're hearing from people who don't just speak down or speak across or speak from a long distance, but people who get it, people who understand that you live and work and love a small rural place and that God is doing big things there and that you get to be a part of it. As always, I could direct you to the more formal channels of where to find this podcast, places like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, ruraladvancement.com. But true to the word of mouth form, I just think these conversations are best shared from one minister to another, from one lay leader to another, as we all seek to kind of grow in loving the context to which God has called us. But for this week, I have been your host, Joe Epley. He has been Pastor John Murdoch, and we will see you next week.